At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So, hello, everybody. Welcome back. Another week closer to a new year. Tessa's here. And truth be told, I'm having a conversation with her right now about how I was really lazy and I did not feel like recording right now.
Oh, yeah. It's been one of those days where I just, well, truth be told, for me, I'm trying not to have fully caffeinated things this week again. I think you just almost spit that through your nose.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. I swear I was going to see a stream come out.
It was very close.
You feeling me though? Oh my gosh, today.
Oh my God.
It's hard to feel like I'm awake.
I mean, so my it is December 11th, Friday. Mm-hmm. And it's finally hit me the compounding of tasks that I needed to do complete last week and even the beginning of this week. I think I've finally hit my wall where I'm like, wow, I'm tired. Like, I don't want to do, I mean, you can tell I'm like, I'm done. I want to clock out. Typically I take the month of December off, like, because I will have had a long year of retreats and trainings and traveling and, you know, all the things, but I honestly feel the same level of intensity just from dealing of fuck, that's my phone. I'm sorry. Oops. edit. I'm not going to edit this out. So just so you guys know, I'm leaving that in there.
These are real life moments.
This is a real life moment. And, I'm just, man, how many of you out there are going to have 2020 PTSD?
Oh, for real. Gosh. I mean, I've been in counseling this whole year, trying to get a head start on that, you know?
You know, for Radically Loved, just a tiny little podcast sponsor shout out for Wise, BetterHelp is a, you know, counseling website that connects you to therapists all over the country who are certified. And it's an incredible service just for people out there who are looking for resources, betterhelp.com/wise. If you want to try it out, this just a shameless plug. It's just because I know a lot of people have used it. And right now that you said you've been in counseling, it just kind of reminded me like, wow, there's people out there who are, you know, during the holidays, I grew up with family members and one of my parents being in AA. And so I just remember the holidays always being a really hard time for a lot of people who struggle with addiction or people who have mental health problems. Like, it's a hard time for a lot of people, you know? I mean, think about it. For people that have tools like you or I, or we have a support system or we have a partner, like it's hard for everyone, but I'm just thinking, did the people out there who don't have the support system, you know, like we're really feeling for you during this time because it is a hard time, you know?
Yeah. Especially this year when it's just not safe to gather in big groups.
Yeah.
Feeling like maybe you might feel a little bit more socially isolated. Can you still find ways to connect and provide some self-care? So I love that.
Yeah.
I love that plug. That's a good idea.
Oh, good. I wanted to talk about this two weeks ago when we had Tori on the show, and I kept forgetting, but I wanted to bring it up with you today. I read the most recent Time magazine, the Science of Emotions edition, talking about how to be happier and the upside of bad moods, secrets to mental strength. And there was this little graph that they show. I'll show you guys here, those of you watching the video, what she feels and what he feels. And I wanted to just ask you to see if you could guess if it's women or men, like Ooh. what happens. So,
okay.
Are you game?
Okay. Yes. Let's do it.
I was going to text you and I'm like, you know, well, why don't I just ask? Because, okay. So this says, are women more emotional? Are men quicker to anger? The sexes feel the same emotions, but sometimes act on them differently. Thanks to nurture and nature. Mm-hmm. So sadness, who is quicker to go to sadness, women or men?
Women.
That is correct. On average, women cry more than men, in part because of hormonal differences between the sexes. Women also are more likely to have suicidal thoughts, according to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, which is, wow, that's really shocking.
Yeah.
I didn't either. So men are less likely than women to express vulnerability, in part because of social norms. Mm-hmm. This is one of the reasons only a third of mental health outpatient visits are by men. According to the American Psychological Association, men are about four times as likely as women to die from suicide.
Hmm. Yeah.
Wild, right? God, yeah. It's so intense. I should have said trigger warning. We're going to talk about some intense things, but I think this is very apropos to just where we are and what this community is about and why we're here. You know, so much of why we practice what we do, whether it's mindfulness, whether it's running or meditation or whatever it may be, we do it to create a deeper connection to ourselves and to our community, albeit virtually at the moment or via this medium, listening to podcasts or following us on Instagram or whatever. But I think it's important for us to be able to talk about this without having the shame or the fear of it, you know, because I feel like a lot of people need to talk about it. I mean, I'll go back to what I said about the community of AA. Now I'm not in AA myself. I have grown up in the rooms, so to speak. So I'm very familiar with Alcoholics Anonymous as a program. And as a lot of people in my life are still currently in recovery through that means. And I think it's a very great community, and it's a very great way to pave your path towards recovery in my experience. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about anger. Who is quicker to anger, women or men?
I'm good with men.
That is correct. Multiple studies have found a link between testosterone and aggression, likely because testosterone activates our brain's emotion center, the amygdala. While men and women feel the same amount of intensity in anger, men are more likely to assault the target of their anger physically.
Hmm.
Wild.
Wow.
Yeah. It says women are more likely to use words to get what they want while preserving social harmony. They may be slower to act out of anger than men because their orbital frontal cortex, the brain's emotional control center, is relatively larger than their amygdala, which registers anger, per a study in cerebral cortex.
Hmm.
Huh. What do you think of that?
I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense. I think it makes more sense the way that we're socialized versus the way that our brain chemistry actually works as human beings, if you know what I mean. I feel like we're socialized. I mean, you just talked about this, how we're socialized as men, or how men are socialized to be aggressive and how women are sort of socialized to be softer. So it makes a lot of sense to me that these are the answers.
Yeah. What about fear and anxiety?
Hmm. as a couple, like they go together?
Yeah, together.
So who's more likely to be more fearful?
Who's more likely to have fear and anxiety?
I would go with women.
Okay. Yes. Women are about twice as likely that as men to suffer from generalized anxiety, according to a 2016 research published in Brain and Behavior. Women are also about twice as likely as men to have specific phobias such as towards heights or snakes, according to behavior research and therapy. In relationships and sports, at work, men display less fear and are primed to flight when their territory is challenged, says neuropsychiatrist Luann Bridzien. Men are driven by thrill even when facing danger. Oh, that's interesting. We're both like, okay, so who is, what about with love? This is the last one.
Okay. So with love, I think of it as a very feminine characteristic. So I'd go with women.
Okay. University of Montreal researchers found that women are better than men at reading facial expressions and tone of voice, which may help with fostering relationships. Mm-hmm. Women pick up suitable signs of sadness. Women pick up subtle signs of sadness 90% of the time, whereas men pick up on such signs 40% of the time. So women are better at reading facial expressions. Therefore, I think being a little bit more intuitive when it comes to love. Men show caring by offering solutions to alleviate stress or sadness.
Oh my gosh, that's the truth.
Right. So this is, I had this on here and I kept forgetting to bring it up even last week, but I'm glad I brought it up now. I just find it so fascinating, right? These, not necessarily the gender roles, but even in Glennon Doyle's latest book, Untamed, she talks about little boys and the conditioning of boys and feeling and sensing emotion. And I don't know that men can't also achieve that level of acuity. I just feel like it's just like a conditioning that happens, you know, because of men are the hunter gatherers, right? They are the ones that are out. Well, that's, again, I'm doing air quotes, what the societal norms want us to believe.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, so I talked a little bit about my husband, Jorge, and I hate using the word macho because, you know, it sounds derogatory and I don't mean it that way. I really don't. He's such a sweet man, but he thinks of himself as such a provider.
Yeah.
And it's such a, if you think about gender roles, masculine characteristic, but he comes from a culture that's very delineated by gender roles. And then I have some friends here in the States that grew up in the States and they have a different background and different parenting and different upbringing. And they have it seems to me like these men or these guy friends of mine have such a different way, like so much more ability to listen and like read my facial cues and respond in a loving way. Not that Jorge doesn't, this is coming out all wrong. But I notice a big difference between environments and cultures. And do you know what I mean?
Oh, no, totally. Man. No. I get it. I totally agree. And look, I mean, Jorge is one of the sweetest, kindest men on the planet. But I would lump Tori along the same lines because I mean, he grew up, you know, blue collar family. Mm-hmm. You know, my Papa Bear, his dad is, you know, incredibly, sort of like committed to being a provider and being that like male presence and making sure that everything's taken care of all the time. And I feel like there's so much of that, you know, like I don't have time to have all the feels, but it's just, it comes from a different place, you know, it's almost like what comes first, the chicken or the egg, their sense, their pleasure center, where it comes to, as far as the payoff to do something feels more, substantial when they're helping, when they're fixing, when they're providing, when they're being of service, as opposed to being emotionally available. So, you know, for it, when I say what comes first, the chicken or the egg, it's like, it's not that it's right or wrong. It's just their way, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, for a long time for me in my relationship, and you can tell me if it was the same in yours, I had an issue with the lack of emotional availability because I felt that my partner needed to be way more emotionally available and wanted to talk about his feelings and why didn't he want to do internal work. You know, I actually wrote about it in the book. I don't know how much of it will actually make it into the book, the final product, but I do talk about issues that Tori and I had, you know, during our like 7-8 year anniversary, where I was feeling like I was doing all this internal work and he wasn't. And I felt that there was this huge disparity between where we wanted our lives to go together, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think all of the stuff that we're talking about comes into play when we look at the studies like the ones that I just read. I think it's important for us to utilize it as a tool, not to blame or shame or to demean our beautiful, strong male counterparts. It's just, I think for us, it's better and more helpful to understand that a lot of this is just part of somebody's makeup. Not to say that they can't change, but it's like, I think it should invite us to meet our partner halfway, mm-hmm. right? As opposed to, oh, you need to be more like me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And that's something that I think I'm just coming to realize in these past few years, because yes, like you, I was always feeling like I was feeling a lot like I wasn't being met halfway, because I had these unrealistic expectations that if I cried and got emotional, that Jorge would do the same with me for some reason. And his way of, like if I was showing emotion, I would want him to like mirror it. And I was just kind of realizing that as you were talking, that I was expecting him to show up in the same way emotionally that I was showing up, which is just not part of his makeup, whether it's cultural or genetic or what, or a blend of the two. And now I can appreciate for him for all of the ways that he really fills me up where I feel like I need it. And we really complement each other in a lot of ways. So his strengths are just bring more strength to me, and my strengths bring more strength to him. And we make a great team in that way, but it's taken a lot of, you know, revolutions to figure that out and to see that positive side.
Yeah. And I think that you said something so key that I feel like a lot of people don't give themselves the opportunity to find out, is to give yourself the seasons, to give yourself the time and the space. Mm-hmm. Most of the time people are so quick to end things quickly or say, oh, this isn't working, I need to move on, as opposed to saying, okay, maybe this is part of a phase or a cycle. Yeah. Can we move through this? Can we push through this? Can we find a new way of being? If things aren't working out, can we move past our differences? Can we move past making mistakes? Like, can we navigate this and still try and be together? I think that the big problem is we're just in a world, in a society where there is a buffet and we think, oh, it's something else is better out there. Not to say that there isn't, but I'm just saying, sometimes the ideal in our mind is better than what's actually out there. You know what I'm saying? Like, it looks really, I always think about life like, you know, those big Las Vegas buffets, you know, the ones where it's just this plethora of delicious options and the desserts, you can see all like the pastries and cakes and everything. And I'm just like, I want everything, you know. I know this is so fucked up.
Now I'm hungry.
Sorry. This is kind of a fucked up analogy, but it's true. You know, you think about it in terms of relationships. And look, I work with a lot of single people. I work with a lot of people that have been through hard times in their relationships. I work with people that are going through a divorce, and my advice is always the same. Inquire within first.
Mm-hmm.
Find out what part of you needs to be nurtured first.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure your side of the street is clean, mm-hmm. and make sure that you are honest with yourself and with your partner. And then do 100% of your 50%.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can do that and you're good with that, then, and if your partner can meet you halfway, then you've got a great thing. Why ruin it? You know, everybody goes through ups and downs. Everybody goes through phases. It's same. It goes with friendships. You know, you have friendships that you're really close during a phase, and then you're not during a phase, and then you reconnect. And some friends, like, it, the relationship runs its course, and then you move on, you know, and that's okay. Same with romantic relationships. But the one thing that I will say about being in a long-term relationship is, at the end of the day, like, wherever you go, there you are.
Exactly. So, yeah. So if you're not cleaning up your side of the street, if you're not doing that internal work, you're going to find maybe there'll be different issues. But really, every relationship that you're in, the things that trigger you are just a mirror for what triggers you. It's just like that person is going to show you the parts of yourself where you need to learn how to be whole. So you can do that in the relationship you're currently in. You can leave the relationship and do that with somebody else.
Mm.
You can do that work by yourself on your own, but every relationship you're in is going to give you that opportunity.
Oh, love. All right. Well, on that note, before we go real deep, and you guys we're coming up here to the end of the year. Then next week we have an incredible guest that I've been following for a long time on TikTok, also on Instagram. She is a astrologer, right?
Yeah.
Maren Altman. She is incredible. So make sure you tune in next week to get her interview. It's incredible. She talks about all of the signs. So if you're wanting to know what's in store for 2021, definitely tune in next week. And also don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you're listening to this podcast. We really appreciate it. So with that being said, today's guests are incredibly inspiring entrepreneurial duo. It's a brother sister duo, which we've never had on the show. And at first I think they were trying to figure out who would do the interview, and I'm like, no, let's have you both. I think it's such an incredible, they had such a great story, and I was so excited to have them on. So Chelsea and Mitch are part of this company. Well, I mean, it's their company. They created Freddie, spelled with an I. Their whole aim was to help women prioritize their wellness. So they discuss their journey towards self-care, the value of nootropics. I like saying that word. I don't know why. Nootropics. And their advice for people having a hard time amid today's global crisis. We talk about how you can be your best self by taking care of your health first. We learn about nootropics and how they
nootropics. I just love that word. Is that weird? I just keep picturing a little palm tree for some reason.
I think that's actually part of their branding. I
know. Maybe that's why.
Maybe it's part of their branding. And we'll talk about what their definition of true happiness is. They'll talk about why they started this company with the rigorous hours. So Mitch actually had a health scare. He was working on Wall Street. And I just think it was such a sweet story, and on how his sister was already an entrepreneur and how they just both came together with this idea. And I just want to support them because I really feel like they have something very special. And I'm just really excited to share their story.
Yeah. I'm excited for everyone to listen. What little sages they are.
I know. I love them so much.
Oh, you guys are going to love this episode. It's a good one.
So without further ado, here is Chelsea and Mitch. I struggled for years to not only find a multivitamin that I liked, but one that I would take. As a holistic health coach, I've known for years that the multivitamins that you can get at a store always have different things in them. Things like sugars, GMOs, fillers, artificial colorants. These are ingredients that you might find in any multivitamin. But Ritual is not your typical multivitamin. Ritual is vegan-friendly and made with key nutrients in forms your body can actually use with no shady extras. I take Ritual because I care a lot about what I put into my body, and I want to make sure that what I'm putting in is actually nourishing my body, not hindering it. I only wish that I would have started taking Ritual sooner. Ritual multivitamins are available for women, men, and teens, and are scientifically developed to help support different life stages. You deserve to know what's in your multivitamin. That's why Ritual is offering my listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. You deserve to know what's in your multivitamin. That's why Ritual is offering my listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/loved to start your Ritual today. That's ritual.com/LOVED to get 10% off your first 3 months. And now back to our show. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Radically Loved Radio. I'm joined by two very special guests. And you know what? I wish I could do like this type of Zoom more often, because it makes me feel like I get really excited when there's two other people and not just two people. I don't know why. It makes me feel like, oh, we're sitting together having tea. Okay. Anyway, before I introduce them, I'm going to tell you who they are. Chelsea and Mitch Glazer are the sister and brother co-founders of Freddy, the wellness brand helping women achieve career success by putting their wellness first. Chelsea is a brand strategist and serial entrepreneur, and she's also a co-founder of Launch It Girl, a brand and web design firm for ambitious women. That's me. I'm an ambitious woman, so that's obviously directed to me. Mitch is a former Wall Street investment banker already, who's heavily into holistic wellness practice for extreme stress and long work hours, led him to a serious health scare, which he's going to tell us all about. They joined forces to build Freddy to make it simpler for goal-oriented women to prioritize their wellness and to help them feel their best at work so they can do their best at work. So one of the things that I want to say, I rarely read intros for people like that, because I always feel like I'm a listographer, but I've really been looking forward to you both. And I wanted to touch on every single thing that you guys do, because I think it's so important to our conversation. So without further ado, welcome both Mitch and Chelsea to the show.
Thank you. Love it.
Well, so all that being said, you know, before we actually started the recording, Mitch, you were talking about the bigger intention of what you guys wanted to create. And it really resonated with me. So why don't we start? You give me a little bit of background, and then Chelsea can chime in right after, if that's okay.
Yeah, that sounds great. So I'll just kind of kick it off with where my career started and how it kind of led to this like initial idea of Freddy. And then we'll go into how Chelsea got looped in along the way.
Yes. And so I know how she got looped in.
And then actually she's the one who like took it and then actually gave us direction. So she's probably more important than I am. So basically this all started when I graduated college and I got a job in investment banking on Wall Street. I started off at Deutsche Bank. And I don't know if you've ever heard about the rigorous hours that investment bankers pull, but it is brutal. And so I did my internship there. And so I already knew what I was getting myself into. But once I actually started working, it was like 10 times worse than I actually thought it was, even after doing it for those 3 months. And so to give you some context, on average, I was leaving the office at like 2 or 3 a.m., but I would often pull all-nighters and never leave. And like, there are so many nights. I mean, every single week I'd leave at like 4 or 5 a.m. on one or two of the days. And so basically there was this one horrible 6-week period where I pulled 16 all-nighters. And every other night I was sleeping at most like 3 to 4 hours. And I was chronically sleep deprived, like to the point where I was basically losing my mind. And I get home on at the end of the 6 week period, and all the 16 all nighters had already been pulled. I'm feeling horrible. I can barely stand up straight. Like, I'm literally feeling dizzy. And I'm still being expected to do all the same work and produce it at the same quality, which is nuts, but we'll get to that later. So I get home at like 5 a.m. From another long day, and I go to like put my head on the pillow and get 2 or 3 hours of sleep before going back into work. And my brain starts buzzing with electricity. And that's the only way I can describe it. That's what it felt like. And it was very like loud and violent, and it was terrifying. And so I sit up and I'm like starting to freak out a little bit, but I only have 2 or 3 hours of sleep to get. So I try to go back to sleep. And so I put my head down again, and then it happens again. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh shit, I must be having like a stroke or something. And the way I've been treating myself over these last 6 weeks, like that kind of seems in the realm of possibility. And so now I think I'm having a stroke, which sends me into a panic attack. And so now I'm just like in a really, really bad, bad shape. And so I get out of bed and I go out into the living room, because it feels like my bed at that point felt like a coffin. I felt like if I was just going to die there, if I stayed under the blankets. And so I go out into the living room and I take my phone out and I dial 911, and my finger is hovering over the call button. And I'm just like thinking to myself, I'm like, Jesus Christ, am I really admitting to myself that it's gotten this bad? Like, when I hit call, like my whole office is going to know about this. I'm going to have to like, I'm admitting it to myself that I've like neglected myself so poor, like so badly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I ended up not calling an ambulance, and I ended up falling asleep on the couch, sitting upright for like an hour or two before going back into work. And then fortunately I actually was able to get a decent night's sleep that night. And then I think that led me to a weekend, or then I slept all weekend, and then I ended up being okay. And then it kind of like leveled out over time. But that moment, that night, which was like definitely the scariest moment of my life, I literally thought I was going to die, or, you know, I thought it was possible. It made me realize that I had been neglecting myself horribly, and that I needed to make a drastic change, or I was going to have to, you know, find a different career or just do something completely different. And so that kind of sparked this wellness journey that I've been on now for over 5 years, probably like 6 years. And it's been amazing. And so I kept working and started, you know, adopting all these different wellness techniques, one being nootropics, which is, you know, Freddie's first product, but really like the emphasis was on everything else. There was meditation, cold showers, nutrition, fitness, all of that stuff kind of all working together really helped me kind of get back on my A game. And, I've always wanted to start a company. And so I decided that, like, you know, this sort of concept of wellness in the workplace is, you know, it helped me so dramatically that like, it felt like a very natural business to start. And so when I was thinking of where we could start, nootropics, which is a very up and coming sort of industry, and not really many people have heard about it, but I found them to be like incredibly beneficial, I thought this would be a great jumping off point. And so as you already mentioned, Chelsea runs a branding agency called Launch It Girl. And so she was like the first sounding board when I had this idea. And I was like, hey, Chelsea, you know, I have this idea of starting a wellness brand. I want to start with this one product. And so what are your thoughts? And so I'll let Chelsea take it from there. So go for it, Chelsea.
Yeah. I've heard Mitch tell that story so many times now, just, and every time it still just like makes me so upset that like, aww, that he was suffering like so much, yeah, during that time. It's like, I really couldn't imagine. Like, I had basically, I'll pick up where he left off in just a second here, but I had like a completely opposite career path that I chose out of college, where I basically started working for myself very quickly and just pursued passion project after passion project. And I had I also found myself at a low point experiencing a lot of anxiety and a lot of burnout, but for a very different reason and from a very different perspective, which was, I personally just had like really unrealistic expectations of what my like dream job and what career fulfillment was supposed to feel like and look like every day, where I showed up to that. And I was like, I would get to a point where, you know, that project I was pursuing just was, it was hard. And I was like, I wasn't getting a lot of momentum. And I was feeling just kind of like, there's so many mundane tasks. Like, this is so, like, I'm doing so many things I don't want to be doing. Is this really how I want to spend my time? And I would just kind of get really burnt out and get sucked into this spiral of, you know, worrying that I was, you know, not doing something that I was going to enjoy, that I was going to get trapped inside of a kind of unenjoyable career path. And so I would pivot and keep doing that. And I was, what I ended up doing was just really spinning my wheels for so long that I brought myself to this point of burnout, just because I wasn't finding that thing that was truly fulfilling. And of course, throughout my own kind of wellness journey, I got to a point that I was almost having like daily panic attacks for like several months. And I was like, what is going on? And then I went to a doctor and I was like thinking I needed like an EKG scan. Like, I was like, why am I having so many heart palpitations? Like, I had no idea what was going on. And he finally prescribed me a book called The Happiness Trap. And it was all about ruminating thoughts and anxiety. And I was like, oh, that's what's going on. I have a lot of anxiety because my like expectations are not matching up no matter how much effort I pour in. And ultimately what I realized was I wasn't taking care of myself. I wasn't really doing the inner work that needed to be done before I can really make fulfillment and, you know, nurture passion in the things that I was putting my effort into. And so I also found my own way to meditation and yoga and, you know, from a very different perspective of just realizing like, I need to like slow down, take a breath, soak in what I'm doing and really think about, you know, how can I make the most of the situation and really pour more effort into the things that I'm starting so that I can move forward and start to find fulfillment in them instead of constantly seeking the next thing. So that ultimately led me to a journey of starting Launch It Girl, which is my brand and web design agency. And it's so much fun working with lots of ambitious women to help them launch their businesses and get their brands all launched and everything put together so that they feel really confident bringing their businesses into the world. So that's when I've been running Launch It Girl for a couple of years when Mitch came to me with his own business idea. And I'm like, yes, get out of the horrible banking industry that is sucking your soul and join me on the path to entrepreneurship. So I was so excited that he came to me with this idea. And what he was kind of describing these products to me, and he'd been telling me about them and how much they'd been working for him. And one of the parts of our conversation was, you know, there were very few women that had really heard of nootropics. But there were quite a few men who had heard of nootropics, and we're kind of looking at the industry and kind of trying to figure out why that was. And all of the brands out there that offer them are super, super masculine and aggressive in their messaging, where they're like, fire on all cylinders, like really position it as a limitless pill, like push your body to your max, like full potential, kind of like extremist communication around this. And they just really weren't reaching women with, you know, more feminine values or, you know, a softer approach to, you know, like, I don't know about you, but I don't want to fire on more cylinders. Like, that sounds so overwhelming. Like, my brain is such a chaotic place already. Yeah. Like, I just kind of want to like calm down and just focus on one thing at a time. And so I had tried the products before because Mitch had suggested I give them a shot. And what I found from nootropics was that they really did have more of this calming effect than they did. Like, it wasn't this fire on all cylinders, limitless feeling. It was this kind of subtle boost in your day that just made you feel a bit better and helped you move forward more consistently towards your goals and get the push through that brain fog in the midday slump. So that's kind of where we started this conversation was, instead of just making a brand that's appealing to women, why don't we make a brand for women that really targets those issues and empathizes with what ambitious women go through with all the different dynamics in life, all of the competing priorities that we have, and build one that, you know, it really speaks to, you know, my clients at Launch It Girl were really the inspiration behind bringing this brand to life and thinking about how can we help them prioritize their wellness in all that they do. And that's kind of how it came together. And, you know, we found a really solid trajectory for the brand. And then Mitch asked me to stay on board as his co-founder. And of course I couldn't say no. So here we are.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I have so many questions. Do you guys come from an entrepreneurial family?
No.
No, not at all. It's a very risk-averse family, actually.
Yeah.
So interesting. How many siblings do you guys have?
It's just the two of us, and we have step-siblings as well, but yeah.
So what, I'm just curious, I'm always fascinated with entrepreneurial spirit people. Like myself, my partner, he is also an entrepreneur. He comes from a family of entrepreneurs, so everybody's self-employed, you know, blue collar, like electrician, you know, log home builders, like that's kind of his, you know, background. And for me, I was definitely not the entrepreneur. I came from a very like traditional, you know, first generation Mexican American, go to school, get a job with 401k, like you made it, you know? So like, so I'm just curious, like where, you know, yeah, like how this might be a little bit non sequitur, but how did that, where did that come from? Like, where did you guys, I mean, obviously having the experience in the work environment, I think would inspire that. Obviously, Chelsea, for you, right after school, you probably already felt that urge to just do something on your own. But I'm curious, Mitch, if yours was the same, was there a little bit of fear? Like, yeah, I always love knowing what the spark is for people that allows them to take that leap.
Yeah, it's a very good question. For me, it was, you know, obviously I just told the story of, you know, the horrible like conditions that I was working in.
Right.
But, and so like, obviously that was like part of the motivation, but, you know, like after I sort of like, you know, put the sort of wellness, techniques into action, you know, I started doing very, very well at work. It seemed very, manageable and sustainable at that point. And so then the problem sort of shifted elsewhere. It became, okay, I'm feeling good, I'm happy on a day-to-day basis, but am I really fulfilling a bigger potential? And am I doing something where I feel like I'm being creative and really like doing something that is me, not just sort of doing a defined job and doing it better than the next person? And so when I kind of came to terms that I was not doing that, and enough time passed that it started to really, really bother me, it just kind of reached a tipping point where I was like, you know what? I need to make a change. I want to do something for myself. Here's this idea. And so it kind of all just, it was just kind of like the perfect moment where it was time to leave the cushy job with the 401k and do something else.
What about you, Chelsea?
I kind of had a slightly different experience going into it just because I started so early that I just didn't have anything to lose. so I was like, yeah, let's go for it. I think, the biggest thing for me is I've just always struggled with routine and rigid structure and in my mind, unnecessary rules. They just make me feel very trapped and claustrophobic. And something that I've always felt was kind of unfair was like, just not being able to, you know, fit life into your work day. Like you had to try to squeeze life around your work. And I've always felt like it should be the other way around, that work fills in where, you know, you prioritize certain things with work, but that it really shouldn't be more important than your life and your relationships and family and other things that need to come first. And really work just isn't the point. Like you work to create a meaningful life, and work is just one of the things that kind of comes with the creation of a all-encompassing meaningful life and fulfillment and all of those things. And so I do have workaholic tendencies. Like I love working, but I don't like being told when I have to work and when I have to be on my A game and when I show up. I've always been kind of a night owl too. I'm like, gosh, I would just love to have a structure and a lifestyle that I can, you know, when I can ride my creative wave well into 2 or 3 a.m. and keep working on that thing that's inspiring me without totally ruining my next day or feeling like, you know, crap that I have to wake up at 6 a.m. to get to work. And I wanted to create a lifestyle for myself that I could really nurture my creative energy, that I could pour fully into something, and not have, you know, just be able to give my ideas some space to breathe also. And so it's just kind of that combination of that creative drive and that, you know, really craving for a lifestyle that just felt more blended and balanced in a way that felt more authentic to me. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of always what drove me forward. And I've just always just wanted to create things and start things. And so I just started.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Thank you guys. Yeah, I'm always so curious. I always like to ask those questions. I'm going to backtrack a little bit because I want to touch on a couple of things that you guys both said. First of all, who wants to define what nootropics are?
I'll let Mitch take that.
It's for you, Mitch.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. So nootropics, it's actually a very broad sort of industry where it's if you Google it, you're going to be misled. And so this is a much better explanation. It's basically like everything from coffee to, Adderall or prescription medication. And so if whatever you are taking does something that affects your cognition, whether it's energy or focus or, whatever ADHD medication would claim it does, mm-hmm. then it is technically a nootropic supplement. And so I like to think of it as, coffee on the one side and then, the prescription meds on the other. And we are in the middle where it's, more than coffee, but it is no synthetic ingredients in it. It has no chemicals in it. It is just all natural herbs, mushrooms, and amino acids.
Cool. Thank you for explaining that, because there's definitely people that are listening to this podcast that, may have heard me talk about it in the past with regard to something, but we've never actually had somebody give us that great of an explanation. So thanks, Mitch. One of the reasons why I never wore white is because every time I would, it would always stain underneath. I know this is TMI, underneath the armpit, they would like turn yellow. So I never liked wearing white. And later I realized that it was a reaction to the aluminum in the deodorant that I was wearing. The more I got into health and wellness, the more I wanted to really nourish my body inside and out and use products that weren't going to have as many toxins as some products out there that are very well known. So the other thing I was always worried about with deodorant was that it would cover, that odor that happens after you're really sweaty after a run or a yoga class. When I found my Native deodorant, I was intrigued by the fact that it was vegan, and I found that not only does it block odor better, but it's also made from ingredients like coconut oil, shea butter, and tapioca starch. So aluminum forms a plug in your sweat glands that keep you from sweating. That's why Native never uses ingredients like aluminum, parabens, sulfates, or talc. Switching to an aluminum-free deodorant doesn't mean you have to sacrifice an odor protection. Native will keep you smelling and feeling fresh all day long. With over 10 scents, including rotating seasonals, Native has something for everyone. My favorite being the lavender and rose, but they have scents like coconut and vanilla, cucumber and mint. Native is risk-free to try. Every product comes with a free shipping within the US, plus a free 30-day return and exchange. I believe in having clean options. I support companies who innovate products that break the norm and help clean up my daily routine. So that's why I love Native. So do what I did and make the switch to Native today by going to nativedeo.com/loved or promo code loved at checkout and get 20% off of your first order. That's nativedeo.com/loved or use promo code loved at checkout for 20% off of your first order. One of the things that I wanted to go back to you now, Chelsea, and ask you, talking about anxiety, and I think that this is something that so many of us are experiencing right now, especially in the climate of 2020. We're going through a pandemic. In the US, we've gone through a lot of civil unrest. There's just a lot of things going on in the world right now. One of the things that you said specifically that affects each one of us as individuals is you said, my expectations weren't matching up. And that really resonated with me, because my teacher always says that expectation is just premeditated resentment. And so, I always like to think about that, the vision of your life and the things that aren't happening, as a way for us to manifest something or to create something that's not currently in front of us. But sometimes if we think about that too much, then it creates a certain level of anxiety that can have the opposite effect of us being propelled towards our goals, right? It creates a more I want to say there's more inertia. It makes it more difficult for you to get there because you start to think, wow, I'm never going to get there. Right. Yeah. So I'd love you to just elaborate a little bit more on that. And also why you decided to work with women specifically.
Yeah. So I guess like I would say something that I like in terms of the expectations that I had, I think it was, I was really wanting to just create the happiest possible life for myself. And the thought of doing something that just felt miserable on a daily basis was truly hard. I couldn't swallow that like at all. It was something that I really don't know how else to explain it. It was just like, oh, like it repulsed me, the idea of doing something that wasn't fun every day. Like I just wanted life to be fun and be able to pursue creative passions. And so I think what I had, because I think there are a lot of factors that created this unrealistic expectation of, you know, there's like, you hear, do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life, you know, and people say like, you know, kind of implying that if you are, you know, working the dream job and you're living your passions, then work doesn't feel like work. It just feels right. like fun and, you know, you're loving it. And so that's kind of what I was expecting. I'm like, oh, great. Then I'll just take the fun path and I'll just love every day all the time and never be sad. And of course, there are those mundane tasks, there are the stressful things, there are those things you bump into that as an entrepreneur, you have to grow through because you have to be every department of your organization and you're not good at everything when you start. And I'm like, oh, I'm not good at this. This doesn't feel good. I don't want to, you know, like just kind of balancing all of those. And so
I love that you just said to grow through instead of like go through.
Oh yeah.
Want to point that out just in case you guys didn't hear it. That's really good.
The key. Absolutely. You got to learn how to grow through it for sure. And yeah, I think like just managing those expectations within myself and realizing that it's not going to be perfectly fun every single day. And there are going to be moments of discomfort, and it's really not about constant happiness and constant, you know, overwhelming joy every day. What it is a longer term scale of fulfillment. And there's a ton of ways to really nurture that. But what I found is, you know, just leaning into a wellness practice is really kind of what helped me understand how to take any situation and find the fulfillment in it instead of expecting that there's just this perfect thing out there for you that you have to it's external and you have to go find it. Yeah. And then once you find it, everything's perfect. It's like, no, you build it from the inside out and you take your experiences and you make the most of them. That's kind of my process that I went through of realizing how to manage expectations better.
Yeah. No.
Go ahead.
Oh no, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. No, I love everything that you're saying. I mean, it truly speaks to our ability to just continue to move through different obstacles, you know, and I love that you're speaking to the fact that it's not always fun and exciting. You know, one of the things that you're saying, it just reminds me of one of the reasons why I love practicing yoga so much. In the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, it's a yogic text that we often read whenever we're doing a training or people are learning more about yoga. The whole idea is for us to create or be in more sustainable joy. Sustainable joy doesn't mean always be at 100%. We always have to be happy. It's like sustainable joy just means that my peaks and valleys aren't as extreme as they would be if I wasn't taking time for mindfulness and contemplation and self-care. So I like that you're saying that.
I love that term, sustainable joy. Yes, that resonates deeply, 100%.
Yeah, awesome. People definitely too often associate happiness with the peaks, not just the stillness that is, you know, on the day-to-day level of just feeling on a baseline fulfillment. It's associated with, you know, like the launch party or, you know, all of the very sexy, fun parts of things, when that's just like a one very specific very rare piece of happiness.
Yeah. No, I always akin that to, I have a lot of friends that are musicians. And so anytime they get any type of accolade, you know, you'll hear about the band that's like wins the award for best new band, but they've been around for like 20 years, you know, it's sort of that same process, because we're so conditioned now to see the highlight reels of everything that we do, all the accolades. Oh, here's this award, or I'm on the New York Times bestseller list, or I'm on here, or I'm doing this now. And we don't see, wow, I worked really hard for years and years and years to achieve this. I mean, I won, I'm going to say we, because everybody that's listening helped. We won a streaming award last, for 2019. Oh, just kidding. I'm sorry. Well, it was earlier this year. I'm trying to delete 2020. we won an award for best wellness streaming podcast. And, you know, we've been doing this for 5 years. And to me, it's like best new. I'm like, we're not new, but, but yeah, but those types of things where people don't see the work that goes behind the scenes, where I wish that we would talk about it more often and display those moments more, not to an extreme, because I also follow some people that it's just, they're just showing the valleys all the time. It's all about like, I'm sad, I'm depressed, you know, or this is always, oh, now this person's sick, or I'm going through it. And it's like, we can't set up camp there and live there forever. We have to be able to expand and be still and inquire within and really create a sustainable place for our own personal growth within ourselves. And we have to do that by taking care of ourselves. And actually, this is a great segue to go to a question that I wanted to ask you, Mitch, about what you were saying. You said that before you hit the call button, it would be an admission that you weren't taking care of yourself, or that you might not be taking care of yourself had you dialed 911. And it was almost like, I want to know in that moment, wow, like that was really deep when you said that, because there's been so many times, and I'm sure everybody listening can relate to that moment where you almost call for help, or you almost call that friend, or you almost hit send, but then you kind of talk yourself out of it. And it's not that it's good or bad. It's just an awareness. I think the most important thing is for us to have the awareness that we are at a breaking point, so to speak.
Right. So yeah, like just the fact that I had to contemplate it made it real already, you know? And so I guess that would have been more of like, because I mean, we're all struggling with problems always, and they always kind of like, you know, they get worse and worse and worse before you, you know, start paying attention to them and making them better. And then they start inching back to like being fine and no longer a problem. But, you know, every once in a while, those problems get to a breaking point where, you know, maybe it has to be like a, you know, full blown self-admission. Maybe it has to be a public admission. And, you know, it's regardless of whether or not you do it, the problem is already there. And it's just as severe, whether or not you admit it or not. It's just like, okay, it's now publicly admitted. Everyone knows I'm struggling with this, and now I'm going to have to do all the work. And so it just, I guess, depending on the person you are, if you're not under the circumstances that I was under, where, you know, maybe I had to take, you know, a week off and everyone was just going to know that I went to the hospital and you can't talk to me. You know, we're all struggling with different issues where, you know, that's not necessarily the case. But either way, depending on your personality, maybe you want to keep it to yourself. And so you can start just focusing on it without having to like reach out to that, you know, the friend you betrayed or whatever it might be. But yeah, it's actually a good insight. I never really thought about it that way, because the problem is always there and it can always reach a tipping point. And it's like that, whether the tipping point is there or not, it's like, it's still there. It's been there the whole time.
Yeah. I have a question for you both. Actually, I'd love for you both to answer this, because I find I'm in the same boat that you guys are. I mean, I so relate to everything that you guys are saying, because think about that person, for example. Let's say that Mitch is another person, right? There's a Mitch number two, M2. Okay. And he did end up calling 911, going to the hospital and actually taking a week off. And like, just, I don't know that any of us here would think anything different of him. In fact, we might actually think, wow, like he's taking the time to take care of himself, right? So like my whole intention with this question is we have so much more compassion for other people taking the time to go through their process. But why is it that we're so hard on ourselves and we can't have that same level of compassion and care that we can know that we have that awareness. Like, and you just got your, I'm going to say you got your shit together and you just went back to work. Like, you're just like, kind of were like, okay, this is something that I have to pay attention to now. You can't unsee the elephant in the room. You've seen it already. You know, you're going to have to deal with it at some point, but still, like, we go through that. We push ourselves. So there was a time in my past life, I would say that's my last career, my last life. I was working as an executive for a very famous celebrity fitness trainer. And I remember there was a time where I got the flu and I'd never had the flu before. And I was sick. I mean, I had a fever. I was on the ground, like laying on the ground, trying to get through just sending emails and coordinating schedules and booking flights and just like doing everything. And I just felt like I just need to sleep. And I just pushed through it and I pushed through it. And I remember going home that night, couldn't breathe, congested, just feeling like death. And I'm like, wow, there's no way. Like, this is, and I still have so much to do. Like, I can't call in sick tomorrow because I can just work from home and I can still perform. Right. Had that been one of my students or a friend or my sister or my brother, I would have been like, absolutely fucking not. There's nothing that's that important. And I think both of you guys will agree with me, right? Like, oh, Mitch, yeah. Had that been Chelsea telling you that, and Chelsea, obviously that's your brother, like, you would be like, what are you doing? Like, stop.
Of course. Right? And our whole message that, like, which is now what we're talking about, like, nonstop, it's, you know, for instance, meditation, a lot of people view it as, oh, I'm spending 30 minutes meditating when I could be working. So, like, I'm not going to meditate. But when you take that time for yourself, you come back and you do work at its best level and you show up as your best self. And so by neglecting the needs that you have to take that, even if it's a week, like, this is going to manifest over the course of the next weeks, months, years, and they're going to completely disappear from professionally speaking. And it'll end up in them quitting or you having to fire them because they just can no longer perform. And so it's all about just taking care of yourself when you have to, because there's true professional benefits. There's true personal benefits of showing up as your best self, even if you have to sacrifice 30 minutes in the moment when you could be working on something else.
And when you have like a wellness practice that you really think about it as like taking your vitamins, like it's to sustain good health. I think a lot of people forget that when they're feeling good, they need to keep it up. Like, it's not just you turn to meditation just to deal with anxiety that's coming up. It's like, you should be meditating every day to maintain the good trajectory that you're on. And when you spend a little bit of time maintaining that good health that you are feeling, that good mental space that you're in, you know, it's not like, you know, and your physical fitness as well, like, that's when you really reduce those moments where you do have to just completely shut down and call in sick. And, you know, you lose so much momentum and you lose so much productivity towards your goals when you let yourself just deteriorate to that point. And so just keeping it up on a regular basis and having those really good habits that just keep you going, that keep you energized, and having those kind of go-to things that keep you energized and refill your tank when you start to feel the little dips in energy to kind of get you back up. So you're more stable in general, I think is so, so important. Absolutely. Yeah.
Are you looking to supercharge your quest to cultivate a deep life? Then I highly recommend Optimize. Optimize founder Brian Johnson has created a way for us to get more wisdom in less time with the intention of getting a little better every day. When he talks about purpose, he talks about how we can't find it outside of ourselves. It's important that we're willing to try new things. And this has been a game changer for me. So what do you get when you become a member of Optimize? You get access to over 600 of Brian Johnson's philosopher's notes. These are very detailed summaries of very impactful books, books that will transform your life. You also get access to over 50 101 courses. These are video lectures from experts on how to take major action towards improving your life. Masterclass Purpose 101 not only provided me with some deep revelations, it also took me out of my writer's block and reminded me about how important it is to stay on my path and to focus on my own work. The reason why this service works is because all of the content comes out of the mind of Brian Johnson. Brian lives a semi-monastic life that is centered around deep work and thinking and contemplation, and he is driven to helping people live a better life. Try Optimize today. Get a 14-day free trial at optimize.me/loved. That's 14-day free trial at optimize.me/loved. You can also use code DEEP, that's DEEP, if you decide to sign up after your trial to get 10% off. If you want more depth, Optimize will help you get there. And now back to our show. Every time that we go into the space when we're wanting to do things for our health, it is twofold. It's mental and it's also physiological, right? So it's important for us to pair all the things that we do externally to our internal landscape. I can do yoga and Pilates and spinning and doing all the, and taking all my nootropics and doing all the, putting my, you know, MCT oil in my matcha, that's, you know, fair trade, whatever, all the shit. But if my insides and my mind is always frenetic and I feel so much anguish from, you know, stuff that's unprocessed, it's going to be, it's like you're hitting the gas and the brake at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so I think that what you guys are speaking to and really what your intention is behind Freddie is really creating that ecosystem, right?
Absolutely.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. I think to also like to go back to your question about, you know, what is it that stops us from treating ourselves at the same level of compassion? And what is it that like we can clearly see it from an outside perspective, looking at a friend or a family member to say, call for help, like stop what you're doing. I think, I know for me, I have a tendency to kind of second guess or be like, am I overreacting? And I think that's something we kind of get stuck in our own cycles of like, do I want to admit this to myself or, you know, am I being a victim right now? Am I, you know, I just need to push through it. I'm just, you know, I'm not showing up. I'm being weak or whatever it is. Like you self-criticize all wrapped up in that. It's like, you may know that you're suffering, but you also are criticizing yourself for suffering because you don't want to be, you don't want to be suffering. You want to be on your A game and doing your best. You're like, I just have to push through this. And then I'll, you know, I'm overreacting. I just need to like suck it up and keep going. I don't know if either of you kind of experienced that too, but I definitely do. And then I'm still learning how to slow down in those moments and be like, okay, it's definitely time to, you know, slow down and practice some self-care instead. But yeah, I think it is so much easier when you do have that kind of sustainable, like ecosystem of self-care and wellness that you practice every day that you start to get a better sense of how do you feel consistently when you're consistently treating yourself with the utmost care, then you really get a better sense and you gain a lot more trust in your intuition because you have a better sense of what is stable and what feels good. And then you're just a little bit more sensitive to when you're not feeling good and you kind of know how to get yourself back when you get into a good practice.
Yes. No, I love that. And yeah, of course I can echo that 100%. I always say, especially being in the world of wellness, you know, teaching yoga and mindfulness and yoga nidra and all these different techniques to get you restored. Meanwhile, I'm like burnt the fuck out, right? I'm like, prior to COVID, prior to 2020, I traveled 80% of the year. Like I was never at home. I was home, I think in 2017 and 2018, I was home a total of 4 weeks combined.
Wow.
Like I was not ever home. And,
That's wild.
It was a lot. And 2019 really showed how taxing that was on my health, you know, cause I started kind of going through a lot of, I was on a fertility journey. That's a separate topic. We can talk about the next episode, but yeah, so there was a lot of that. And I always think it's funny because my purpose of saying all that was that we always teach what we most need to learn.
Yeah.
And yeah. So
that's good. That's good.
You know, it's here we are.
Yeah.
I'm just wanting to be mindful of the time And I have not asked even the first question on my sheet here. And I feel like that happens every time. And I'm sure the people listening are like, Rosie, you never ask any of those questions. I want to just give a shout out to Tessa, who's like the director for our podcast, because she prepares these really incredible questions all the time. And, you know, she keeps doing it, even though I never really ask the questions that she prepares. But there was some really great things on here. So I think one of the things that I do want to, and Tessa, you're amazing. I love you so much. Thank you for all the work that you do. But I'd like to just ask both of you the question of, when it comes to wellness during a time where we feel so frenetic and so ungrounded, what are the things that have helped you stay the course? Just maybe like one or two things, and then one thing that you would recommend the people listening to this podcast that they could do for themselves today.
So I'll take that first. So I would say for two things, I'd do one that's sort of like really in the moment, and then two is more of a grander thing. One is, I think breath work is very good, and it's something that you take on the go. Obviously you have your lungs with you everywhere you go, but just like taking a moment in between any of the like stressful BS that's going on day to day, and just taking a moment to breathe and focusing on it and doing nothing more. It sounds stupid if you've never heard of like what breathwork meditation or breathwork in general is, but once you sort of getting into it, you start reaping the benefits. And then all of a sudden it's just like this tool you can take out at any given moment and just sort of calm your physiological nervous system down. And it's hugely beneficial. So that's one thing I'd recommend. And then two, which is when there's all of the craziness that's going on and you feel lost. That's when you're doing something that has a greater purpose, when you're doing something that makes you happy, even though it's not making you happy in the moment, clearly, you still have that North Star to look at and say, I know I'm doing this. I know why I'm dealing with this BS right now. It'll be done in a week. It'll be done in a day, whatever it is. And I'll be moving closer towards where I know I want to go. And so those two things, it's just very, very easy to just take a moment to reflect and do so while breathing. And so that's what I would recommend.
Thank you.
I think there's a couple of things, well, there's a lot of things I do, but a couple that come to mind are if I'm feeling just really like overwhelmed by the chaos of the world, by all the unknowns, by like when it's like fear of what's happening in the world starts to seep in, or I just start to feel otherwise anxious about all of the things that are outside of my control, I like to take a walk and like leave my phone and go get outside and be like, oh, the world is really not so scary. Like, I'm okay. I can walk around and exist. And like, even if it's just in my little bubble for one moment, like, it's okay. And that's like a nice reminder to kind of step outside. We've all been spending a lot of time inside in our houses, and it can just, if all we're looking at the world is through the news on our TV screens or through our apps, like, it's a horrifying place. It feels really scary right now. And so that's one thing I like to do. And the other thing I like to do is make a lot of lists when I'm feeling overwhelmed or disconnected, or especially in these times, like whether it's just I'm feeling lost in how to approach my day, like everything feels overwhelming. I just start with a simple pen to paper list of all the things that I can do and realistically get done today. And I'll make gratitude lists of, you know, when I need to reconnect in that way when things are feeling awful, or I'll make a list of things that I'm looking forward to, or a list of things that I'm excited about, or I'll make like, I do this sometimes, is just like make a list of people I love in my life. And like, I'll be like, oh, I haven't talked to them in a while. I'm going to like text them and see how they're doing. I just make a lot of lists in general. And there's just like, it just kind of reminds me of like the richness of life. And it's like a silly thing, but it helps.
I love that. It's not so, I love, that's such a great, oh, I wrote that down. That's so sweet. How fun. I am so grateful for both of you, first of all, for just creating a space and really setting an example of what it means to be a conscious wellness brand company. I really look forward to seeing you guys continue to grow. And I'm just, I'm honored and privileged to have been able to have a conversation with both of you. I do have one final question that I want both of you guys to answer. I ask all of my guests, and it's pertaining to the podcast, and it's the question of, I created Radically Loved as a place for people to come to get inspired, to feel supported. The whole ethos of Radically Loved is that we are all radically loved and supported by God, source, presence, mother, nature, whatever higher power of your understanding, that the universe works for us and not against us. And so the question to you both separately is, how do you feel radically loved? Chelsea, you go first.
Okay. That is a great question. I think even just going back to that, kind of making a list of people I love is something that helps a lot. And I think I just like to kind of reflect on, you know, the work that I do and the people I'm able to reach through that, and kind of remind myself of the impact I've been able to have through my work so far. And that kind of helps me just reconnect to my purpose, my sense of meaning, and just like an overall sense of value in, you know, how I can think of, you know, what I'm bringing to the world and to the people that I love, to the people that I work with, and just continue to reconnect to, okay, you know, what have I done? What can I do more of? And just remembering my purpose in that way. And I think that helps me to kind of feel, you know, loved in certain ways, and also helps me remember to love myself and feel gratitude for myself and all of the things that I've been kind of able to accomplish so far in my career, and just kind of keeps me motivated to keep doing the next thing.
I love that. Mitch?
That's
a follow up.
Yeah, seriously. I've been brainstorming over here, and it's not an obvious one for me, but I guess what I would say is that, you know, I feel radically loved by just kind of everyone that was a part of my upbringing to get me to this point. I feel like, I've kind of reached a point where I feel like with enough work, enough dedication, that I can do anything. And that's a very liberating feeling. And I don't think that that's something that everyone necessarily experiences, but it's something everyone should experience. And so I'm just very grateful for whatever it was throughout my upbringing that allowed me to have this mindset, because, you know, feels good.
We do have such a great family. We're lucky.
You guys are the cutest. And you guys got good. You guys also are, you know, two beautiful people. So you guys got good genes too in the family. So there you go. Thank your parents. So for the people that want to learn more about you both and Freddie, where can they go for more information?
They can check our website out at wearefreddie.com. And our Freddie is F-R-E-D-I, I'm sure they'll probably see that. And then we're on Instagram, just also at We Are Freddie.
Perfect. So we will have those links on the show notes of this particular episode. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can just check the links out below. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share this with a friend. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. Let us know what you thought. Mitch and Chelsea, you guys have been such a pleasure to talk to. I'm excited to have many more conversations with you both. Thank you both so much for being here and for everything that you're doing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's been so lovely. Appreciate you.
Hey everyone, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I am so excited to continue to do this. Please share this with your friends. Email us, message us on Instagram at Rosie Acosta or on Twitter at Rosie Acosta. Subscribe on iTunes, write a review. We love doing this, so please help us continue to keep this podcast going. Thanks for listening.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.